is nothing more inspiring than a woman being unapologetically herself.
The answers are all in your heart.
She's waiting.
She's waiting.
She's waiting for you to set her free.
Welcome to Be You Podcast. I'm Jill Herman, and I am so glad you're here. I was broke, insecure, and craved approval. But with grit, hustle, and sacrifice, I still built a successful multi-million dollar business. 10 years in, burnout, I slowed down and looked inward. In that silence, I discovered that the same level of success could have come to me with much less effort and so much more joy. That's when I threw out the expectations of the world and chose to unbecome every single thing I thought I was supposed to be. And the real me was uncaged. It was far from easy. And in this podcast, I'll offer my entire journey as a roadmap so that if you're ready, you can finally be you. Hey, it's Jill, host of Be You Podcast, hopefully your favorite or one of your favorite podcasts. If you're new to this podcast, I'm so happy you're here. I know it was not a coincidence that you found us. I can't wait to find out what you love about this and what lands for you. And if you're part of our Be You community, I just want to tell you again how much I appreciate that you listen. And it's not because I need you to listen in order for me to feel good about my life. I'm saying I appreciate that you listen because there are so many distractions and so many things coming at us in life in general, but especially through technology. And there are so many amazing podcasts out there. So I appreciate that you took time to listen, and I love that this resonates with you. You know, in life, we have to remember that we are not meant for everyone. That's not just a tagline, you know, and that's not just us pretending not to care. It's really true. We can't land for everybody, and we are not meant to resonate with everyone. We are meant to find our people and understand that just like everyone isn't someone you want to listen to, you can't be someone that everyone else wants to listen to. It just doesn't work that way. So we it's important for us in every area of our life to remember that. And that applies obviously even more so with a show like this. You know, they talk about niching down and getting really specific. And I had a lot of quote unquote experts telling me, oh, BU is not niche enough. You need to get more specific. And I followed my own gut and my heart and my intuition, which told me they will find me. You know, your vibe attracts your tribe. Have you heard of that? I knew that I would just be myself, and people who wanted to also be themselves and they celebrate others being themselves would find me. I knew that the purpose of this podcast would come through to those who it was meant for. And those who it's not meant for, I don't take it personally that they don't listen because it's not meant for them. So if you're someone listening, well, clearly you're listening right now, this was meant for you and you're my people and hopefully I'm your people. So I want to say thank you to a few of our listeners who submitted reviews on Apple. And a lot of you listen on other platforms, but on Apple, you can actually write a review and I can see that. And we have over 200 of them. For as many listeners as we have all over the world, it's not very many, but it's a lot. It's a lot. Over 200 people have taken time to write a review. I bet many more have thought of doing it, but I appreciate the fact that you actually took time to do it. If you haven't yet, you don't know me anything, but I would love it. It helps the podcast grow. If you don't know this, if you've heard me say this many times, I apologize. You're going to have to hear it again really quick, but I am not a part of a podcast network. I don't have an agency promoting me. I don't have people out there on email pitching my podcast to people. That's something most podcasters have. I don't do any of that. This truly is organic growth. This is because of you. I don't have a big social media. I don't like the word following, but community, whatever. I don't put money or effort into that. You find me because you're meant to find me. And I love that. That's what I love. We don't have commercials and I'm not attached to anything other than you. So when you do write a review, it really means a lot and it also really helps the show. So just this past week, we had 3 reviews come in. This one is from Mel5571. Thank you so much. It's called what she wrote in the message, because you can put like a title is this with a bunch of S's podcast. She said, There's so many interesting topics Jill covers. She mixes the facts with humor and has such an interesting way of making it so relatable. I look forward to her new releases every week. Thank you. Especially when I travel. We have so much in common and I just feel I can identify with almost everything she shares. Kind of like a best friend I haven't met yet. And then in parentheses, she says, but hope to do one of her retreats someday. Oh my gosh, that makes me feel so good. Thank you for saying that. I did mention a few times, and if you didn't hear last week's episode, that I am definitely going to have some retreats in my home and on our property, probably this fall. So I will make sure to tell you about that as soon as that gets organized. Okay, this one is from BAHAM 807. What is that? Baham 807? It says, so glad I found this podcast. Jill is a breath of fresh air. Her content is super down to earth and relevant, and I've experienced a lot of personal growth since becoming a listener. Thank you so, so, so much. And again, thank you not just for your words, but for the fact that you took time to actually type it out and do that. Thank you. This one is from I Went to the Park. I love that. Raw, honest, and relatable. Jill brings her full and honest self to the table. She is one of the most authentic and honest people I know. I love her honesty in not knowing things and her incredible way to interview because she asks the questions that the listener is wondering, and that's why she is so relatable. Thank you. Her new segments on health, that was January, by the way, are so awesome. Really bringing to light topics and information that is so important for women to hear. Love this podcast and love you, Jill. Wow, 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 wow. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Okay, what are we going to chat about today? What'd you think of last week's episode with Kelly Gardner? Pretty amazing, huh? I love the people I bring on the show. If you have a few amazing interviews still coming up in April and May for you. And then for the summer, it's going to be primarily solo episodes, and I'm going to be reading some snippets of the book as I write it. And I'm excited to share that with you all. And then once the book comes out, you'll be the only ones who have ever heard that behind the scenes. So I want to share that only with this group here. Also, some of you reached out asking, what the F is a yoni steamer? And why did I bring that up? I was sitting in my recording room, which I call the goddess room, the pink room, the ovary office, the womb room. It's all painted pink. And I was looking at the yoni steamer that I bought about a year ago. My husband just put it together. I haven't used it yet, but I was like, you know, I should tell them about that. I was asked if I'm affiliated with the company. I am not. I get nothing from any sales, but I read to you what it does for you. And then the owner of the company reached out to me and said they're going to listen to the episode because they heard I talked about them. So it's something I'm excited about. All right. So if you recall, and if you don't, I'm going to remind you. A couple of episodes ago, I mentioned in that solo episode in the last 5 minutes, I talked to you about, it's kind of like a little pep talk, like stop with the bullshit story that you're getting it wrong and everyone else is doing it right and all of that. And I told you I was going to do a solo episode on that. I said it would be the following week. It's 2 weeks later. So that's what we're going to talk about today. Before I do that, I want to say to you, when I listened to the episode from 2 weeks ago, where I was doing, I called it like a chit-chat catch-up episode, I understand, like I get, I am self-aware enough to know and to see that I am kind of all over the place. That's my brain. That's just how my brain works. I don't know what you call it. What it is it? Unmedicated ADD or ADHD? I don't know. It's just my brain. It's like I'm going along the trail and then I see something shiny and I want to pick up a flower, but I always come back to the trail. So if it was hard for you to listen, I get it. Even I listen sometimes and I'm like, man, I went off into three other directions, but I did come back. I wonder if they stayed with me. But I did that because I have found, and according to the stats, when we look, you like it when I just chat about my life sometimes. I've done that a few times and that's why I did that. So I hope you found it helpful. Every time I talk about myself, I always share, I don't like to tell people what to do because who the hell am I to do that? And I don't like to talk at people. However, I do share lessons I've learned and things that work for me, not to force that on anyone. But so it's not just chit chat and there's some substance behind it. So if you haven't heard that episode, I think you'll find that there is some really solid stuff in there besides me talking about steaming my yoni. All right. So let's just have a little chat about this whole story that you and I have created that we continue to perpetuate and that some of us are in bondage around. And that is the story that other people are either doing it better, that their life is, I'm not going to say perfect, no one really believes that, but that the life that we see is what is really their life and the story that we've created around what that means about us. So, you know, that last 5 minutes of that other episode when I was talking about dropping the bullshit story that everyone else is getting it right, et cetera, it's really punchy. And I could like market that. I mean, I feel like it was pretty good. I heard that. I was like, damn, that's some good advice. And it doesn't really help just to say that. We need to, as they say, unpack that. Let's unpack that. Why do we do that? Why is it that many of us, after a lot of focusing on whether it's through therapy, coaching, whatever it is, we've really looked at ourselves deeply. We've looked in the mirror. We've owned our shit. We have looked at the stories that we've created about ourselves. We've looked at our sort of like shadow, as they call it, or the dark parts of us that we've hidden away or we've denied or we've judged or shamed. We have turned ourselves inside out. We've really committed to finding who the F we are, like really who we are. And we have done forgiveness work and we've looked at trauma from the past and we have, you know, forgiven people that need to be forgiven, even if they don't deserve it. Those of us who've done a lot of that work, and that's most of you, how is it that we still, even if we catch ourselves and we correct ourselves, how is it that for so many of us, the knee-jerk response or the autopilot is to look at someone else and always make up a story about how they're doing things better than us, or they're getting it right more than us, or focusing on what they have that we don't have. But yet when we look at ourselves, we always go to the negative first. Even if we check ourselves and go, okay, hold on, I know what I'm doing, why I'm doing that. Let me get back on track. Hold on, I know why when I look at her, I'm doing that. Let me get back on track. Even if we identify it, acknowledge it, and get back to center, which is truth and love. Don't you ever wonder, like, why do we do it at all? One, why do we look at other people and always assume the positive and look at ourselves and always assume the negative? And number two, why do we look at other people and make up a story as if we have any idea what's going on in their own mind and in their own heart and in their own soul and in their past and in their present and behind closed doors and in their bedroom and with their children and when they look in the mirror? What makes us think that we get to have any opinion on that? Like, not because we don't have the right to, like we're not allowed. We just can't. How could we? That's like me assuming something about a different culture and I know nothing about that culture whatsoever. I don't speak the language, but yet I'd have never eaten the food, but I'm going to, I've never even been to the country, but I'm going to say these things or assume these things. You would say, that's preposterous, Jill. Why would you do that? Well, I don't know, Nancy, why do you do that about me? And I know you might be saying, well, we don't always go to the positive. Sometimes we look at people and we go to the negative. Sure, we do. But today we're focusing on when we look at other people and we always assume things are better than they are, we always assume in this comparison game that they're doing something at an even like a tenth of a degree more than us or faster than us or in a different way than we are, and we should be changing. And why do we do that? Well, I believe we're doing that because we are focusing outward instead of focusing inward. Like our anchor isn't in ourself. Our anchor is like we're throwing out an anchor. Okay, picture that you're in a boat, okay? And you keep throwing out all these anchors that aren't landing. I'm going to throw it in that part of the water, and then this part of the water, and that part of the water, maybe over here, maybe behind me. In this metaphor or analogy, I can never remember the difference. Those different areas that we are throwing those anchors out to are like different people that we see on social media or in real life. And it's never going to land. It's never going to stick, right? We're never going to get the real view, the real story, because it's not real. Once we throw that anchor into the water, it just like disappears. But what if we are fully anchored? Our anchor is in the water and down in the bottom of that body of water in the ground, and we are solidly anchored. And we are so secure, no matter what comes at us, no matter what kind of water, no matter what kind of wind, doesn't matter because we're so securely anchored and we're focusing on what's in our own boat. We're coming from a place of safety and security. When we do look out in this direction, in that part of the water, behind me, in front of me, we look over there, but we don't have the desire to throw an anchor out there. Or let's just say cast a net out there. There's no desire. It's not that we're ignoring it. We don't have blinders on. We're not just in our own world, but we're so solidly anchored in our own being and in ourself with safety and love and acceptance, even with all the shit inside of our boat, the rust, the holes, the bird poop, the dead fish, you know, the fact that we had to borrow the boat, the fact that it's been painted 800 times, but we're still secure and safe in that boat. And so when we look out, but that's it. So when you look at life, when you're focusing externally to find meaning, that's the pitfall. That's the death trap. It's not to not look externally. Look, learn from people, observe what they're doing, listen to what they're saying, cheer them on. You know, I had a friend that said to her kids, she would be going about life with her kids and she'd say, see that? Don't do that. See that? Do that. So it's great that we observe. We can look at other people living their lives and go, I don't really want to show up like that. Hey, I'd love to show up in life like that. That's pretty cool. And just like observing, but our anchor is still in us. And for those who really feel spiritual or want to look at this from a spiritual place, we are anchored in that divine love, that truth, God, whatever word you use, so that we do look out, but that's it. There's no meaning attached to it. There's no story made up about it. And we don't need to look outward for anything. So I guess the question would be, when you look out or at, what's your come from? Is it coming from a place of safety, security, truth, love, acceptance, and you just happen to be looking out? Or are you looking out because you're needing and wanting to confirm some sort of story that you have, this sort of confirmation bias? Are you looking outward because you need to prove that you're fucking up? Are you looking outward because you're so hungry for love and acceptance, you think that you're going to get it outside of yourself? Are you looking outward because you don't want to focus on your own boat? It's easier to avoid that. You don't want to look at the chip paint. You don't want to look at the dead fish. You don't want to look at the fact that it's a borrowed boat. It's easier to just look outward and focus on other people. Well, it'd be nice if I had a brand new boat like that. She didn't have to borrow a boat. Look at that shiny anchor. And of course, we have no idea what the truth is about those other people. We have no idea when we're in our boat and we throw that anchor out, thinking that we're going to be able to get secure attachment in some other area, right? We have no idea where it's going to land. It's a total facade. It's a trap. So when we're looking at other people's lives, whether it's a friend of ours, an online connection we have, or someone you're just like, you know, seeing out in your community or on social media, what is your come from when you look at them and you tell yourself something about them or their life? Is it coming from jealousy? Is it coming from insecurity? Is it coming from envy? Is it coming from that everything they have is what I want? Is it coming from not fair? How is it so easy for him? How is it so easy for her? Just think about the different areas in this conversation that we go to. Like, let's look at our different categories, let's say, finances. I used to do this. I mean, my entire life until 10 years ago was a constant struggle with money from the time I was a little girl. And so that's the lens I saw everything through. So what do you think I was doing? I would try to throw my anchors out and try to get security in looking at other people who had money and either making up a story about them, which wasn't kind, not assuming the best, or making a story up about me that it's just not fair, that somehow they had it easier. Why is it never going to work for me? Focusing on what I don't have instead of what I did have. Maybe it's when you look at people's marriages, their relationships with their kids. When you look out, what does the come from? See, if your lens is picture yourself again in that boat, you own it. You're protected. You're solid. You're safe. You're grounded. You are anchored. You've got a solid anchor no matter what storm comes at you. Doesn't mean your boat's perfect. It doesn't mean you don't have shit. But if you're solidly anchored there, when you look out, your come from is different. You see, you could look at someone who's more beautiful than you with a truly a healthier relationship than you, not just you pretending, but let's say they really do have a better relationship than you. And let's say their kids haven't had big struggles like your kids have. Let's say they haven't had any health challenges and you have, but you're looking through safety. So it lands differently. It feels different to you. It reflects back differently to you. Remember, everything and everyone is a teacher and a mirror. So when you look at someone else, even if they really do have more, we can't say that that isn't true. Of course, there are people that have more. They're better looking. They have better relationships. It's not you just making up a, you know, woe is me victim story. It's true sometimes. There are people who just are sort of winning at life in certain areas or maybe in a lot of areas where you aren't right now in this season, by the way. That's okay. But if your come from is safety and security, when that mirror shines back at you, it's not going to blind you. You're not going to be scared. It's not going to threaten you. You won't need to make up anything about it. You'll just see it for what it is and go, wow, isn't that interesting? I certainly don't know the behind the scenes for that person from, you know, their whole timeline, like from the time they were born to now. And I certainly don't really know what's going on in their head. I don't really know what's going on in their marriage. I don't really know. But man, that looks good. Good for them. Whew. Good for them with a slice of, it's not really all that I think it is. Not being skeptical or negative, but just being real. They really, really do have more money than me. Check. Okay, I should feel beautiful, but I'm just going to be honest. I do genuinely on paper think that she's a lot prettier than me. She doesn't have any issues with her weight. She doesn't have health issues, blah, 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 blah. They seem to be really happy in their marriage and they've been married 30 years. Whatever the things are, we can see that and also realize I still can't see the water beneath their boat. I can't see it. So that is all true. And it doesn't mean there's something ugly and dark and horrible under there, but I also have no idea. Here's an example. That woman could be riddled with anxiety and panic attacks, and you have no idea. She could have disordered eating and have been battling that since she was 12 years old, and you will have no idea. Now, this is going to sound like such a bizarre, dramatic, drastic, weird example, but you could look at her super hot husband, and what if he is impotent? Or what if he isn't, but he has no desire to have sex with her? I'm serious. Just think about this. These are the things that we don't know. We have no idea. It doesn't mean that what you see isn't real. Like, yes, on paper, those things look like what I would want. It doesn't mean you're making that up. And it doesn't mean there has to be something horrible, like the impotent comment. You know, I'm just saying it doesn't have to be something like that. But what if it is? What if it's nothing like that, but it's just that, you know, he just can't open his heart to her. They look great together. It looks, they've been married 30 years. It sure looks believable when they say how much they love each other. Like, I'm pretty sure I can feel that they love each other. But what if what you don't know is that every night when she goes to bed, she's just begging him to open his heart and he can't. He doesn't know how to. What if he'd rather spend time with his friends golfing and hanging out with them than with his wife? And you don't know that because all you see are the pictures on social media when it's date night. What if none of that is true? But what if, you know, 5 years from now, something tragic is going to happen in their family? What if none of that is true and it actually is as great as you think it is? Like, it's amazing. They have amazing sex. They are like super attracted to each other. Like, on paper, it's like everything you would ever want. So what? You see the difference? What's your come from? Why does it have to mean something about you and your life? Why can't it just be their life? It has nothing to do with you. Let it be. Let it be. don't go sneaking around and nosing around and looking behind door number three. Don't go trying to raise the curtain to see who's back there. It might be something that shocks you, and maybe what you find is there's nothing there. Maybe it's your worst fear that their life really is that fucking good. They are killing it in every area of their life, and there is no door number three. What if? Is that your biggest fear, or would that be your biggest hope that someone really could have a life like that, even if it's not you? What is your come from? What lens are you looking through? What glasses have you picked up and put on before you've looked at the people next door? I think a lot of us don't even know this, especially if our life is like working, as they say. If you got a good life, got great friends, you know, you have challenges, but your life's good. You have struggles. You know, you've got the chipping pain and the dead fish maybe in the bottom of the boat, and maybe you borrowed the boat and all that, but you got a fucking good boat, okay? Life is good. And again, only you can define what that means, but let's just say it is for you. I think the reason that we still find ourselves, even if we check ourselves and come back to center, I think the reason that we find ourselves looking at other people, strangers, acquaintances, or friends, and we're thinking that they're doing things better or that they don't have the same fears or struggles that we do. I think the reason we're doing that is because deep, 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 deep down, we still feel like we are either inherently wrong and bad and not enough, or we realize that that's not true, but we haven't done enough of the unlearning and remembering and repatterning to love the hell out of ourselves. Because if we're coming from a place of genuinely, not the bullshit, you know, self-love, I love myself, but truly loving all of us, warts and all of it, accepting it all, but also loving it all, not just tolerating it, loving it, forgiving ourselves for the way we've behaved when we didn't know what we know now. If we can come from that place, we're rarely looking outward other than just through observation, just through connection, through community. And when we do, we see love for other people because that's what we see in ourselves and we give ourselves. And you can't see comparison, jealousy, they're better than me through a lens of love. It's not possible. When you pick up the glasses of love, which is truth, truth and love are the same. When we pick up those glasses and we put those on and we look outward, we're not going to see anything but that. Whether someone is struggling and dealing with things that we haven't been challenged by or with, or we look and we see someone who looks like they're just killing the game. Either way, same, same. What do we see? What does our come from? We see love. Okay, Joe, what the hell is that? That's so woo-woo. It's just not clear enough. Okay, how does that translate? When we see the person who is struggling in any area, it doesn't matter, or they're not where they would like to be, or maybe they're looking at you thinking you have, you know, something better than them, okay? Or we're looking at the person that we feel has things better or more than us. If it's coming through the lens of love, we won't make up a story about that, and we won't make up a story about what that means about us. We won't make anything up about it. We won't add anything to the picture. And we won't make that mean anything about how we are showing up in this world, or how we are living in this world, how God loves us or has favored us or hasn't favored us. There will be none of that. There will be none of the, well, why can't I? Or why don't I? Or that's not fair. Or I wish. Or none of that. It just won't happen. Now we're human, right? So as I said in the very beginning, a lot of us, even if we are coming from that place, we still might revert back to the scarcity. But how quickly do we see it, and how quickly do we check ourselves and come back to center? That's the name of the game. Can you catch yourself without judgment and go, ooh, whoop, there I go, and come right back to center? And if so, how quickly can you do it? There's something that Kelly Gardner said in our last episode which, I mean, you've heard probably a version of this other places. It's a pretty common theme when we're looking at personal growth. I'm just going to say it again, though, because it applies to what we're talking about. I wish we could all just walk around and he says something about having something on your forehead, but like, you know how you can see a bubble above someone's head? What if there could be like a bubble above all of us? And it would be this running screen of all of our fears, all of our stuff we don't want to talk about and show anyone, all of our insecurities, all the things we don't like about ourselves, all of the skeletons in our closet. But the thing is, everyone would have it. And you could just look and you wouldn't even really need to read the details, but you would just see those words going by and go, oh, whoa, 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 that's a lot. Ooh, that's a lot. Oh, wait a minute. Everybody has a lot. I can't believe I thought I was the only one who had all this. I mean, I'm not naive enough to think that I'm the only person that has anything, but I certainly didn't believe that she had that. And I sure as hell didn't believe that he had that. I mean, what? I wish we could all just remember that everybody does. The question is it owning and running their life or not? Is it their come from? Is it their pair of glasses they're looking through? What are they anchored to? And if they don't have an anchor and they're still floating all around and floating all around and trying to throw anchors here and there and there and there and there and there, remember, if you're not doing that, you still have something else. There are two people in my life who just in the last week shared with me some truths about their relationship, about their marriage. And I am telling you, I did not see it. And I will also tell you that one of them, not the other, but one of them, I was kind of envious of just a couple things. I don't like the fact that my husband and I have a blended family and we were both divorced. I love our blended family. I can't imagine not living this way. And he and I have both said to each other and on this podcast, actually, that we wish we weren't divorced and then remarried. We wish we would have started in the beginning for each other, with each other, for ourselves and for our children. It's not ideal. It's amazing, but it isn't ideal. And so this one friend has been married to her husband for over 20 years. And I just have seen that and been a little envious of that, having no idea what she just shared with me about what's really been going on in her marriage for the past 5 years. I had no idea. So while I'm focusing on, you know, the shiny paint on her boat, I'm not seeing that there's a hole in it. And why should I be able to see the hole? It's not my fucking boat to be looking at. I should just be noticing it floating by and appreciating it for what it is and waving, and that's it. Instead of making up what? A story about their boat and making up a story about what their boat is saying about my boat. So who are you looking at and what are you saying about them or their life or their relationships or their career or their money or their body? And what are you making that mean about yours? Where are you casting nets or throwing out anchors when you should just be focusing on your own? Why are you or why are you not coming from a place of true safety and security in your own body as a sacred sovereign being and in your own life? Is it when you look at other women and you look at their body, their beauty, how and the way you believe and you perceive they are aging? Is it when you look at other people's perceived wealth or lack thereof? Is it when you look at the way you perceive people parent or the relationship that you believe they have with their children or their own siblings or their own parents or their in-laws or their partner? Is it when you look at what you believe to be true about their career? You look at someone who's always been a stay-at-home mom and you're jealous as hell, but what you don't realize is that she looks at you and she can't imagine how it must feel to be a banker and how jealous she is of you. All of this comes down to outsourcing our worth, meaning we're throwing anchors out in other directions to find meaning for us and who we are. It's never outside of us. It's never outside of us. And it's not even in our own beauty, our own finances, our own career, our own relationships, our own children. It's not even there. it's within us. Because if all that disappeared, you still got to be at peace and grounded in truth and love and safety without anything else. Because once you find that, what? You find that everywhere outside of yourself, in your relationships, in your marriage, in your own beauty, in your own way you are aging, in your own finances, in your own career. You'll see it everywhere because you first, what? Found it in yourself. And you don't just find it in yourself. You fucking anchor into that. That is your come from. You will never again look at another person and make up a story about what they or their life means about yours ever again. And if you start to, you go right back to truth. The stuff that isn't pretty, the stuff that sounds woo-woo and weird, the stuff that's like, who wants to do this every day kind of shit, is where it starts. The actual physically anchoring into your body, like physically, hand on heart center, hand on belly button, closing your eyes, breathing slowly, and then saying things like, I am safe, I am safe, I am love, and saying to yourself, you are safe, you are love, you are safe. Being still and not avoiding the stillness. They say, show me the way you avoid stillness and I will show you the patterns that run your life. Getting still is when the whispers and the insecurities and the fear will show up. So that's why we don't want to do it. It's easier to be distracted and look out at Sally. Get still. Anchor in. At the end of every podcast, you hear me say three things. Breathe, love yourself, and surrender. That is what we're talking about here. That's your anchor. Breath, love, and surrendering. Full trust and acceptance that the life you've been given and the way it looks is the way it was supposed to be. And that much of what you see about your own life isn't even true anyway. Remember, nothing is what it seems. Nothing is what it seems. So I want you to be a little detective in the next week, next coming days, and start collecting evidence all day long, confirming the opposite of the insecure stories you have about your own life or the stories you have about other people. Collect evidence, true evidence, to remind yourself and write it down that you really are more than enough, that you are so blessed, that you are so capable, that you are so loved, that you are so protected, that you are beautiful, that you are successful, that you do have abundance. The tiniest shreds of evidence that you can find, and write them down 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 and make little notes into a note section of your phone, even if you have to do little voice notes to yourself. Collect it all and then look at it at the end of every day. And I'll tell you what, that is going to become a big part of the lens you're looking through when you look outward. That and the grounding in and the anchoring into love and truth, it's going to change everything. I think another thing that's helpful is for us to just be more raw, more vulnerable, more honest, more authentic. You don't have to overshare and like share all your ugly, but just let go of this whole idea that you have to hold it all in and pretend everything is great all the time. When someone says, how are you? You don't always have to say, fine, I'm fine, I'm fine. It's good. Everything's good. Busy, busy, busy. You don't have to keep saying that shit. You don't have to unload everything that's going wrong either. But you know what you can say? You know what? Life is sure as hell lifing. I'll tell you that much. Grateful and this is fucking hard. You can say that. What if you did say that? What if you started saying that? What if more people started saying that? My God. That's like the bubble above everybody's head. Thank God. All right, my friends. I'm not going to say if this was helpful, send it to a friend. I'm going to say with confidence that I know that this was helpful. I know that there was something or several things in this episode that were a bit of a record scratch or a loving interruption or a kick in the ass or a hug. Please pass it on and pay it forward to other people. Love you so much. I'll say it again, breathe, love yourself, and fully surrender.